This is the Morning Crossfire on 92.3 Nigeria Info.
Good morning to you, Nigeria Info. We get into a conversation on the Morning Crossfire. My name is Ifeyemi Andrew, and I'll be speaking with two fine gentlemen this morning. A public affairs analyst, journalist Olalekan Ige, is with me in the studio. We're also going to have a legal practitioner, Chioma Choko, with us. And we are looking at the post-tribunal judgment. You heard Atiku Abubakar of the PDP and the presidential candidate of the Labour Party, Peter Obi, both saying they will appeal the judgment. Well, is there a need to appeal? Would you ask or encourage them to appeal if you had the chance to speak with either of them? Let us know what you think about it. Use our WhatsApp number 0809-030-6416. On Facebook, Nigeria Info 92.3PH. On Twitter, Nigeria Info PH. Either of these platforms and respond to the question. Mr. Ige, good morning to you.
Yeah, good morning, Andrew. And how are you doing this morning?
Very fine, thank you, myself. Thank God it's Friday.
Yeah.
You're looking very Friday-like.
I'm just trying to get myself ready and wait for opportunities that would arise.
All right, a lot of people had different opinion with regards to the tribunal judgment. Some were happy because perhaps whoever they supported emerged a winner of the judgment were in their favor. For some other people, their candidates did not get the judgment that they perceive is what they ought to get. In your view, after looking at the pronouncement and the judgment that was given by the tribunal, would you say that the judiciary did justice to the matter?
I would say I had mixed feelings out of that judgment.
How so? Where are the areas that were concerned?
Yeah, I felt for all of the hours, you know, spent by the tribunal to give judgment, at no point in time, you know, the tribunal had some words of admonition for INEC. INEC was a major culprit in that election. Even though the tribunal argued that the petitioners couldn't prove their various cases with hard evidence, with particulars to those evidence they had before the court, I would have thought that the tribunal should have had some kind of admonitions for INEC, you know? Even though the tribunal in its wisdom said, look, there's nowhere in the constitution that mandates INEC to electronically transmit results. That the only thing, that the only thing that is in the Electoral Act is the beavers to capture those who are going to be accredited to vote.
All right, pause then. This is the first bit I really want us to address, and hopefully we get the legal practitioner, so we have a legal perspective to it. But INEC spent billions. The government spent billions of naira to get the IREV, to set up the IREV, and as well as making sure that it would have the possibilities to transmit election results electronically. So, if it knew that constitutionally there's no backing to that, why spend that money?
No, you know, the constitution already gives INEC the powers to determine how it wants to organize election. It has that power.
That's now, what I'm saying. So if the INEC had then chosen that, because INEC said it before the election.
No, INEC,
exercising that power, INEC said, we are going to be transmitting. It was that power it was exercising.
I'm sure that's what encouraged a sizable number of people to come out to say, look, for the first time, let's believe INEC and believe that, look, they will duly transmit the results electronically from the various polling units and not all of that. So that's why I said, look, I was a little bit disappointed, you know, with the tribunal. I felt they should have had some serious admonitions for INEC. You came out, asked for money, you were given the money without any hindrance. Every Nigerian looked forward to a very credible election. You assured Nigerians that, look, we were on top of the game. Just go there, be captured by beavers. After beavers, result is announced. As soon as result is announced, we upload them immediately, you know, onto the IREV. And Nigerians believed INEC. So it encouraged a sizable number of people, you know, to come out, you know, and vote during that election. And of course, we already know what happened after the election in many areas. It was difficult, you know, to be able to upload majority of the results from the various polling units. So I felt the tribunal should have had serious admonitions for INEC. You can't say constitution has given you the power how to conduct, how to determine what method to use in conducting the election. you assured Nigerians everything was going to go well, I felt that the tribunal should have gone out of the law, you know, to actually call out INEC and say, look, this is disappointing.
That's the second part to it, going out of the law, like you said.
Yes.
For many people, I had to go watch parts of that judgment because I couldn't spend a whole how many hours. In fact, before I get to this question, very important, I need to ask this. During the build-up, and when the various parties were presenting their cases, there was a call that the process be televised live. And the tribunal disagreed. Lawyers, the judiciary said, no, the court is not where you come and transmit live and show all of that. And that did not happen. So why then was the process of announcing the result broadcast live?
I mean, you know, the judiciary, should I say the courts in this case, have the prerogative to determine certain things. In the first instance, they must have exercised their prerogative to say, look, there is no need for live coverage of all of this. The same prerogative is what has now been activated to say, look, okay, look, we are giving judgment, you know, on a certain date. Please, if you are interested, it wasn't made mandatory. If you are interested in covering it, like, please, we will oblige you and come and cover it. Mm-hmm. So, you know, when you give somebody a prerogative, you do not question him, or now he...
It decides to use it.
Exactly. You can't question it.
It's a worry. For many people, the concern was, it's the same matter, it's the same tribunal. It's not like it's maybe...
You know, Andrew, the moment you can't question somebody's prerogative...
It becomes difficult.
It becomes difficult because there is nothing outlaid. There is nothing specific to say, look, it is mandatory. And the moment the person exercises that prerogative, you cannot question. You can't say people. The courts are not people. The court decides to activate its power at any point in time. So you can't question the prerogative of what they've exercised, you know, at that point in time. To begin to debate it is to look. You are just wasting the time because you already know that the man had the powers to do in this case. He has the power to approbate and even reprobate, you know, in this case, which is what they've done thus far for live coverages.
It brings us to outside the law, what you mentioned. For a lot of people, they say, well, the judgment did not say that there were no, directly, outrightly say there were no issues with the election. It just said it could not prove certain things that the petitioners could not prove.
Yeah.
So then the question many had to ask, I wish my lawyer guest was here already. Perhaps he would. But as an analyst yourself and a Nigerian, when you then look at that, and do you then say, oh, some people I spoke with said that means the judges knew that there were issues. So because we can't prove that there were issues, you would now say, let us, based on what is on the constitution and the provisions, issues or not, this document doesn't support that. So there's nothing we can do. We have to put it this way. Do you think that the judges had done justice if we are looking at the angle you came from acting outside the law in certain instances, to point out certain things that were obvious and needed to be questioned?
In going outside of the law, sometimes they are now giving admonitions. That's why I use the word admonition.
So it wouldn't be the caution. Judgment based on outside the law, but you could
say something. You could give certain admonitions and say, look, based on what all the petitioners had said, INEC itself came out and said, look, we organize the election this way. Will use electronic method of transmitting results and all of that, for which the judges too were aware. You could go outside of the law, outside of the hard evidence that should have been before you, to say, look, INEC, we are disappointed in you. Look at what you've made these petitioners to go through. Look at what you've made Nigerians to go through. These are general admonitions to an institution. But when it comes
Despite the judgment,
yeah, you could admonish, you could caution. You could give what sort of advice. It's within the powers of a judge to be able to do that. But when you want to prove something, the court has to rely on the evidence before it. Remember, precedences will be set. You know, the moment a judgment is given, you're already setting a precedence until it is upturned. So you need to be able to put something together that will ensure that it lasts the test of time if you are going to give a judgment in that regard. So they needed evidence, you know, before it. I'm sure you are aware that the petitioners had complained that INEC gave them tough time to be able to access.
Some did not even get all the materials some of that what they needed.
So I felt, and these were part of the briefs that the lawyers of the various petitioners gave before the tribunal to say, look, we had difficulties in even getting some of these things from INEC. I felt that the tribunal, you know, judges should have taken particular note of why INEC would refuse. You conducted an election. people who contested in that election say, look, we need these materials. Then INEC became hesitant. Why would INEC do that?
That brings us to this question. The fact that the judges in the tribunal went ahead to look at the case, and even the lawyers went ahead, when they know that they didn't get certain materials that would have perhaps helped their case from INEC. And so was there nothing that the judiciary at the time would have done to ensure that these documents were present? Because INEC seemed to be the focus now. In fact, the River State Civil Society Organization is even calling on INEC now to give account on the money spent. And that's what many other people are saying now. Okay, INEC, if this is how it turned out, the money that was given to you, what did you then use it for if everything didn't work out? So it then puts us in a situation where we're asking, where does this then keep us with regards to the belief that Nigeria... So many people feel that, yes, this is what the law says, first of all. According to the Constitution, this is how and this is what the judges did. It's not like they did something outside the laws. Does that then mean that the laws is the problem that we have? Or are the laws what we need to expand to accommodate more loopholes?
I'm sure you know there are no perfect laws anywhere in the world. And because there are no perfect laws anywhere in the world, it means that sometimes a sizable percentage, a majority percentage of what are the problems with our laws are the human beings who are meant to operate it. In this case, INEC. INEC had given Nigerians every assurance.
But then, it brings us to the law that didn't say that.
No, I'm coming. You know,
because INEC would say it was a word of mouth.
No. What I'm saying is, you know, in the judgment, in the tribunal's judgment, you understand, they talked about what the Constitution had given INEC.
Mm-hmm.
That only two things are captured by the Constitution. One is that there will be an electoral commission,
yes,
that will conduct the election. Two, Beavers was outrightly captured. And three, they are not saying that, look, in giving INEC the powers to conduct election, he gave INEC a large powers to now determine whether to use this or not. And the moment, and like I argued earlier, the moment you give somebody a prerogative, then to begin to question that prerogative becomes difficult. If we are now looking at the part of law to make some amendment, especially to the Electoral Act and to the Constitution, maybe it's to now insist that, one, INEC will not only use the Beavers, INEC must or shall transmit all results electronically. That means it's now something that can be subject to litigation before the tribunals, because it is now specific that INEC must or shall transmit results electronically. But for as long as it's not clearly defined that it must, these are just guidelines from INEC, you understand? And the Constitution has given INEC the power to issue guidelines to be able to do that.
Back.
We take off with the biggest conversations with an exchange of opinions and ideas on the Morning Crossfire. Settle you into your day when we say hello, Port Hackett.
Take you on a ride to the sunny side of life.
Hover a bit while picking at the details on hard facts. Take a detour through the exciting world of sports.
And get back on track with Let's Talk.
Land you safely as we chit-chat into the morning on Chat Station. And then do it all over again on your number one talk, news and sports radio station, 92.3 Nigeria Info.
Nigeria Info, the Morning Crossfire conversation continues. My guest Olalekan Ige is still with me in the studio. My name is Ifeyemi Andrew. We have heard the tribunal judgment, and we've also heard that members of the presidential candidate of the PDP and the Labour Party are both saying they are not satisfied with the result. In fact, in the case of Atiku Abubakar, in his exact words, he has said, I respect the judgment, but I refuse to accept it. And has already directed his lawyers to head to the Supreme Court to appeal the judgment. Civil society groups are saying INEC need to account for the monies it spent. If at the end of the day we were not able to use the Beavers as we ought to, or the IRF portal as we ought to. But for you, would you encourage for the presidential candidates to go on appeal or just accept the results and work with President Bola Tinubu. Well, these are some of the very pertinent questions that many are asking this morning. 0809-030-6416 is the WhatsApp number. You can send in your thoughts. Choma Choko, a legal practitioner, joins us this morning on the show as well to give us a legal angle to some of the issues that we have raised and some of the things that I'm pretty sure questions that you have in mind. Mr. Choko, good morning to you.
Good morning.
And let me use the opportunity to say another congratulations. He got married recently.
Okay.
I never got
meaning
to say
that after this program.
We are supposed to have some.
Yes.
We are supposed to
I
have
support
something.
You. I support you. Supported.
I was even thinking while I was there because of the mammoth of Christ. So you know, okay. Couldn't have pictured everybody.
Okay.
I presume that you attended.
Oh, okay, no, I wasn't there.
You have taken a bottle of wine too.
No, I wasn't there. So you do the proper one now.
All right, gentlemen, thank you very much. Mr. Choko, now that you're here, let's just get your thoughts on a few things from a legal angle. We've said quite a lot. And one thing that Mr. Aiget pointed out was the failure of the tribunal and the judges to admonish INEC, and nothing much was said in INEC's direction, even though we know that they are in the middle and they are in the eye of the storm for all of this. What's your view on the judgment? Does it meet the criteria constitutionally? And then for many people, in fact, the judgment was basically that it did not say there was no this or no that. It just says you could not prove.
Yes. Well, this is a very wide question that will we need me to do proper appreciation as a matter of fact, and at the same time explanation of the both sides. By that I mean explaining away the errors and the rights of the tribunal, and at the same time the errors and the rights of the counsel in that particular matter. And let us even, because I may not be able to put together all the concerns that appeared in that matter, so I can borrow a leave or take a particular case study, which is Labour Party's cancer. Because if you look at it very well, all the minds of the entire persons are believing that our Labour Party should have won this particular judgment as a matter of fact. So we have to just lift his cancer as a matter of fact and then appraise it line by line with that of the tribunal. See, the truth of the matter, which is where I have little agreement with the court, is that you cannot just come to court without being able to prove your matter. It is expected. In law, we say there are two things we have on that section 138 of the Evidence Act. I said it here in your sister station yesterday. The law expects, if it is a criminal matter, the law expects you to prove your allegations beyond reasonable doubt. And if it is a civil matter, the law also expects you to prove your claims beyond balance of probability as a matter of fact. Now, some of the allegations that were made fell under both criminal and civil claims as a matter of fact. Take, for instance, there were allegations of fraud, which is overvoting and all that. The law expects that the person who is alleging that overvoting puts up a very stringent claim, as a matter of fact, or allegation to that effect. And that comes with a whole lot of evidences. You may have to, as a counsel, come to the various wards or local government, because I've always said it, that part of the errors we keep having in our electoral processes is the constitution, which is the corpus juris of the Nigerian jurisprudence, as a matter of fact. Look at it. What does the Electoral Act provide? That within 21 days after the pronouncement of an election, in a presidential election, in a complex state like ours, that the presidential candidate to whom it is expected to approach the election petition tribunal, you have just 21 days to gather all the materials. Is it possible for you to go from north to south? Is it possible? It is not possible. It is impracticable, and I want to admonish the National Assembly. That is an error in the first place, because by that alone, you've withered most of the strength to the person to whom that electoral victory was given. So for me, that 21 days is too minute for anybody in a presidential election to gather sufficient evidence to prove his allegation or claim in election petition tribunal. But then, look at it. We have what they call the law as it is and the law as it ought to be. The court, if they want to be wise or they want to favor somebody, they told any of the both sides, because if you look at it, one of the proponents of the Nigerian the legal theory, Oliver Wendehome, says the law is not just the statute that is written, but rather an inclusion of the pronouncement the judicial pronouncement, the prophecies of what the court has said, and in fact, nothing more pretentious than that. So what it means is that even when the electoral, even when the statutory provisions are there, the court can, in her wisdom, elect to go to say, oh, that provision, just like, I think there was a particular, under the CAC, for instance, what is it called, the Corporate Affairs Commission Act, Abby, the court, Federal High Court, recently said some of the sections contravened the provisions of the Constitution and then removed it from that particular act. So, ordinarily, if you wanted to look at it as a law,
the court had the power to have done similar things in this case.
Now, let us also look at it. If you look at the provisions of Section 285 of the Constitution of the Federal Republic of Nigeria, as it is, that law states, inter alia, that if you want to file your statement of claim or facts, as in the election petition tribunal, the petitioner who is coming is expected to file alongside all the documents that are required, alongside the statement of on oath, which was where the court took that wisdom from. They said, no, because you did not meet the requirement of that particular provision of the law, that is Section 285, to say, oh, you filed your claim, you filed your witness statement and all that, but out of the 13 witnesses that you produced to the court, 10 of which you did not front-load their witness deposition on oath. And that is a good wisdom. But on the contrary, which is where I also faulted the court, yes, the court in her argument or in her position or decision ruled or said that because you made payment in course of filing those things, those witnesses were no longer the witnesses of the court, but rather your own witnesses, because you had relied on them. But look at it, which is also on the converse part of it, where I agree with the procedure of the counsel for the Labour Party, for instance. At the moment you are coming to court, some of those witnesses that were called, that were subpoenaed by the court, were witnesses who were even against Labour Party. But that the Labour Party as a person or as a party needed their testimonies to substantiate their argument in court, their claim. Now, it is not expected that at the time you are filing your processes, such witness who is not incoherent, which is not in agreement, which is not in tandem with your position, will have supplied you with testimonies, with statements that would have substantiated your claims in court. So it is expected that it is only the leave of court upon that such testimonies can be extracted from. Now, the person filed all the witness statement claims, facts that are within his reach, and then produced them to the court and said, okay, court, this is what I have. But however, I have other witnesses, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, that can still make my claim valid before your court, and I need your leave. We have what he called, I think, that happens in two circumstances. I cannot remember. There is a Latin margin they use. Subpoena ad testificandum, and then subpoena dicit tecum. That is, if a witness wants to come and tender just document in court, you just come, tender it, and go. You do not need to
stand and say, give
you do
any,
not need just to tender
you
that.
Be questioned.
Yes, you will not. No, you can be cross-examined on the question, but then you do not need that witness. You do not need that witness on oath. Nah, good. You will not even be questioned. Just to tender the document to show to the court that this kind of thing existed in this material evidence. The other one, which is a subpoena ad testificandum, has to do with where a witness is expected to give oral testimonies in court. And because of the paucity of time, the court said, okay, reduce it into writing because we are subpoenaing you, which is the one Peter Obi's lawyer did. The court subpoenaed those 10 witnesses. They were the witnesses of the court. They were the witnesses of the court.
So
the
why
then did the court say, because they paid fees?
Then you now say...
And in the... Let's look at my argument. When I looked at it, I had to carefully reason this thing. You knew that, the court knew that, those witnesses were the witnesses of Labour Party. In their presumption, in their claim. And you knew also that they did not meet the requirement of Section 285. As enshrined in the law.
But you went ahead and allowed them.
You went ahead, allowed them, issued the subpoena. That alone is consent to that testimony.
because you allow them to bring in those witnesses, it becomes a witness of
the court. Knowing that their statement or no were not from
were not included. So you should have said, oh, because I'm not in agreement with this thing, you are thwarted in the law, don't bring them in.
Don't bring
then
them.
The counsel would have known at that juncture that the only witnesses he's relying on would be just
would be those three witnesses and not the others. All right, because we don't have a lot of time and we need to take a few calls. INEC did not provide certain documents that some of the parties needed to make their case.
Yes.
Regardless, the case went on. In such a situation, how do you explain that? Knowing that these things are important to whether my claims in court can be proven or not.
You see, my dear brother, you know, unfortunately, I wasn't listening to you, so I wouldn't know the position you told here. But the truth of the matter is that if you look at it very well, it is a height of disregard. Not just to the court, but to the citizen of this nation.
True.
I will tell you, people, there are a group of persons that are holding this nation to ransom. It is not their marketplace. They come and purchase and go. Ordinarily, in a civilized nation, there is nowhere a court will mandate a person to come and the person refuses. It is because we know that these persons are living under the protection of a certain person. Do you know that even in this state now, there are things that I don't want to go further.
All right, let's open the phone lines. Still a few more questions we'll ask, but let's just take a thought. We would want to know for you whether you would advise for an appeal. If you were a legal advisor to any of these parties,
of
would
course,
you
say I have...
What would change at the appeal? At the
I have court? Weighed in APC against Seriaki Dixon. A just concluded case. The same court of appeal, in her wisdom, said because the court accepted from the beginning to subpoena these persons, that those witnesses becomes the witness of the court. That alone.
But that did not apply in the presidential.
No, that's what I'm saying.
That's what he's saying.
That is a precedent which contradicts the current ruling. There is a precedent which has been established by the law. I said it from the ab initio that the law is the prophecies of what the court will do, and in fact, nothing more pretentious than that. And I want to say that because there is a contradictory position, there is a test to be conducted in the Supreme Court.
Good.
I understand that the financial implication could be heavy, and some of us who are far cannot contribute. But I'm not speaking for Labour Party. I've never been a member of Labour Party. Except in the nearest future. But for today, I'm not a member of Labour Party. But I know that once there are substantial evidence to prove to the Superior Court that the position which was taken by the trial court is in contradiction with the original established the principle or fact or law, as a matter of fact, the Supreme Court will have reason to grant that appeal.
Okay.
So there is a reasonable ground for Labour Party to appeal. Yes.
All right. That would include the PDP as well.
Of course, they have a good ground.
All right. Let's just get on to the phone lines. We'll see if we can take 2-3 calls. Robin in HA, good morning. Whether you would encourage for an appeal or let's join hands and work together. Robin, good morning. Yeah.
Good morning, my brother.
All right, go ahead. Straight to the point, please.
You see, seriously, what has happened will generate discussions in generations to come. For me, I have never had any stake in that tribunal. Those who care to listen to me outside talk, I clearly told them that nothing will come out because persons have hijacked. We are a conquered people. If I have told you this thing, I have said it severally. If you are not a conquered person, I, Robin Maja, the farmer, am a conquered person by few elites. But they should continue. The doom day is close. And the elders who are keeping quiet because they are benefiting from the system, the clergy that are not talking, when the doom will fall, is going to overrun all of us.
All right, Robin, thank you, but we have to move on. We don't have a lot of time. Clinton is in Bori. Clinton, good morning.
Yeah, thank you, Andrew.
Yes.
Yeah, the system we have in this country is a problem. Our systems are undertreated, and they've made everything very difficult for us. The court and the electoral body. That's a problem because you cannot give Nigerians hope. Then at the end, you end up disappointing us. I'm talking about INEC. They gave us hope that the election result will be transmitted electronically. Then when they end up in court and telling us that they cannot admit that in evidence, I think that's the particular clause that I'm not happy about. And they are setting a very bad precedent for the upcoming elections.
All right, Clinton, thank you. David, in Yenagoa, good morning.
Yes, greetings from the city of Yenagoa.
All right, David, go on.
My name is David West.
Okay.
As a matter of fact, I entered an interview, and this is my opinion. I want to retract it. You see, law is not sermon. Legal issues are not based on sentiment. For me, when I listen to the judgment and taking a look at the issues that were formulated for determination by the petitioners, I immediately knew that those issues were somersault. Because now you left what we are supposed to look for in election petition tribunal. You must maintain the grounds on which you are contesting or raising the petition. But you left those things, you are going to America to look for future evidence and what have you. It will not hold water. And I also know very well that indeed, that special status some very learned senior states want to give to the Federal Capital Territory by way of the 25% spread, Usama Salt.
All right, David, thank you. Which is something, we don't have a lot of time. I wish I would have been able to have some clarification on that. Let's take a few messages as we attempt to wrap up. Also, Francis says, Atiku Anobi heading to Supreme Court may be a waste of resources, hence the independence of judiciary is still in shambles. Makachika Tikenuba, PDP and Labour Party messed up their cases. They must apologize to their supporters. The lawyers who defended them, I'm sure, are working for the opposition, are working for the APC, or they just don't know the law. The tribunal judges, too, time they match their petitions with laws. For example, in the case, they're supposed to rely on the record of each state that applied to INEC chairman directly. Nweze Fab says, it's good for Nigerians to know the difference between judgment and justice, my humble opinion. Chijoke Okala, to me, I would not encourage the PDP or Labour Party to appeal the tribunal judgment. The reason is that our judiciary is biased and cannot dispense justice accordingly. We could go on and on, and this is what you would get. But quickly, in just a few minutes, I'll start with you before I end up with Ige. For many people who went to vote and saw certain illegalities happen and then expected that, well, in the courts, these things would have played out and then they would see and then, okay, and if it happens that way, they would accept whatever judgment that comes, but they didn't see that happen. Where does this then put us? We know that judiciary did what it did with the laws that we have and the ability of those who presented their case to show that, okay, these cases, these allegations are true. But when you look at how it has played out and the perception people now have of judiciary, how do you explain the way going forward to make this better? Adjusting the laws? Yes. What do we have?
It's also part of the problem, if I got you clearly, that for me, as a lawyer and as a person that I'm also having or feeling now, you recall that during the trial of this particular suit, there was an application that was brought to the court to allow it to be televised.
Right. Yes.
And the court...
I asked him that question and said no, but then televised the results.
Because this question now, that would have explained it better, because we would have known whether those evidences were actually tendered
or not. So if we had it live.
Yes, none of us were there. So how can we even testify or give accurate facts as to whether or not those material evidences were actually produced to the court? But the truth of the matter is that Nigerians believe that, yes, because of the fact that you refused the application. It is an application of Nigerians. Because you refused that particular application, which would have availed them the opportunity of citing for themselves the errors of the council. Coming back now to blame the council of Labour Party or PDP, it's like a white ghost chase.
All right, Mr. Ige, quickly, for you, what do you make going forward now? How do we handle this? For people to say, I saw this happen and I go to court, I should see justice in the sense that what I saw happen reflected in court and not the court giving me a judgment based on the law and what I was able to show them as against what really happened that I saw.
I think we must fundamentally reform INEC then. INEC is crucial to the evidences of the opposition parties, those petitioners. And I felt that INEC will have done more. And the fact that the tribunal even excluded INEC from admonitions is what is shocking to me. Then I think we need to go forward, amend the constitution further to say, look, INEC must now transmit the results electronically. Not that INEC has already had the powers to be able to organize election, determine how it wants to conduct election and all of that. And because of that, you can't hold INEC, you know, to responsibility because it didn't transmit the results electronically. I think we can now make that mandatory for INEC that, look, while we are using BVAS, which is in the Electoral Act, at the same time, we must be able to vote electronically or we must be able to transmit results electronically. Right, that might be a game changer for future.
Thank you very much, Mr. Ege and Chioma Choko. It's been a very insightful conversation, and that was what was intended to be. My name is Ifeemi Andrew.